The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
An awful lot of people as well getting in touch about those scenes in the Oliver Bond's flats and the rave overnight. We had Dara McCullough on speaking about a rave in a field in Meath as well at the weekend. And like I said, you can listen back to that on the News Talk app. Dara O'Brien, though, another Dara, is the Minister for Housing, Local Government and Heritage and joins me now on the line. Minister, can I just ask, before we talk about your own bailiwick, I want to talk about your own backyard. And as a Dublin TD, what were your thoughts on those images we saw from Oliver Bond's?
Oh, well, it was seriously disappointing, to put it mildly. I think from listening as well to residents who were there, who'd rang the Gardaí, and how it looked like that this event was prolonged. Look, it's dangerous, frankly. It's dangerous for public health. I know these times aren't tough for people, particularly our young people as well, but we're asking them to do things that are kind of unnatural in one respect, of not to be sociable and not to socialise with friends. But the impact of big gatherings like that are only known in a couple of weeks' time, where you actually see a spike in particular areas because of gatherings like this. And I'm just asking people, look, they've got to follow the public health advice. There's a reason for that. And look, it's something that shouldn't be replicated anywhere else. I think in the main, to be fair, these type of incidents are pretty rare, not as rare as maybe we would like, but the vast majority of people are abiding by the public health advice for a very good reason, particularly here in Dublin, Kieran, where you and I are. We've seen the growth in numbers over the last couple of weeks. We've got to control that, and that's why the measures were brought forward last Friday, you know, for further restrictions in Dublin that aren't easy for people. But if we get it right, if we work together on this, then hopefully we can see an easing of that from the 9th of October onwards.
There's a number of issues, I suppose, in your own department I want to talk to you about.
Sure.
As well, including planning changes around heritage buildings. Explain what you're looking to do there.
Well, I've been looking at this. This is, I suppose, one of the ways that some people have reacted to this. I'm not looking to change national monuments or build buildings of historical importance, but any of us in any of our major cities in particular, if you look at Limerick, if you look at Dublin, some of our regional towns, it's the old chestnut of the above shop living again, as to why we don't seem to be able to really crack that nut here in Ireland. And I've looked at this, I've looked at it in quite some detail whilst I was being in opposition and now as minister with responsibility for it, to see, well, what we need to do to be able to help people, you know, get back living in the cities and be able to turn some of the older buildings, and yes, some are, you know, fine old Georgian buildings. You take Mountjoy Square, you know, through Drumcondra, where you have a lot of fine buildings there, with above the shops are vacant. So, you know, that shouldn't, like, we have space for people to live. I think more and more we're seeing now with the, you know, with what's happening to our cities, that people not living in them. But, like, a lot of people want to. But the expense of actually converting some of these buildings into living spaces is prohibitive. So I've looked at what they've done in England, and actually the Royal Institute of Architects in Ireland did a really good paper last year. Orla Hegarty, assistant professor in UCD, has also spoken of this, about looking at what they do in Britain, where they have four stages of preservation. So recognising, you know, the historical importance, and as that lessens, as the type of work you can do. So in some instances, you would be looking at not having to retain the internal footprint of a building, and potentially, you know, keeping the facade, where more important buildings that are unique inside, obviously you would preserve them to the proper qualities. But in Ireland, in many respects, we only have one version of preservation, and that does make it difficult to make these buildings livable. You need a lot of money to do it. A lot of people don't have lots of money to do it either. So it's looking at some reasonable, workable things. And actually, you know, there are changes that can be made in planning regs that would make this easier.
And how easy to make those changes?
Well, when I was opposition spokesperson in the Joint Directors Committee, we had presentations made by the, as I mentioned, those two people in particular, the Orla Hegarty and the Royal Institute of Architects. And there are some changes within planning regulations that don't require primary legislative change. But I think most people would want to see these buildings put to use, particularly above shop. And it's not just a city thing. If I look at some of our significant regional towns, whereby really they're struggling, and the centre of those towns and villages are struggling because people aren't living in them.
Yeah.
And that's part of the Living Cities initiative that we're looking to do in government. So, you know, I'm 10 weeks in at this stage. I've had a look at it. I'm certain that we can make changes here that will improve this situation and get more people living in properties that are currently vacant.
Other changes you've talked about making to planning is around co-living. You haven't been a fan of co-living. You weren't a fan in opposition. What changes do you want to make there?
Yeah, look, I don't see co-living as a permanent housing solution for people, like as a mode of delivery. I would say there's been a lot of focus on it, and understandably, because people have views on it, but not one co-living unit has been built. So I just want to put it in context of the level of importance. But having said
there are plans for quite a few, and planning permission secured for some.
Yeah, there are. Look, I think there may be a place for us if you're a company that are building accommodation for staff who are coming in, you know, your Facebooks and your Googles and others, and even in our horticulture sector as well, where you will have businesses and that who, to help their staff, are actually building accommodation. There's a role for it there. There's certainly a role in purpose-built student accommodation, which we have in many of our cities and on campus as well. But what I don't like to see, frankly, is, and I'm not talking about specific applications because I can't, I'm talking in general, is where we're looking at where we would have permissions granted for houses or apartments now being people seeking to convert them into co-living spaces. Mm. And that for me, as you know, be it for a single person or for an individual, isn't a long-term housing solution in my own view. And it seems to me that it's about maximizing the profit and the yield per square foot. So I have been reviewing it. I said I would do that, which I am. I don't want any changes I make that there would be unintended consequences in the areas that I mentioned. If there's corporations who are investing here to build accommodation for their teams and their staff, I think that's a good thing. I think it's good for our students. So that's where we're at the moment.
I'd want to live in a co-living unit, and I'd wager you probably don't either. But what your predecessor said is, look, for some people, they do want or it's suitable for a time. And also, it does increase the amount of units you can build. And I know you don't want to mention any particular projects. I don't mind mentioning them. You say Bartra and Balls Bridge, they had a planning permission for 20 apartments, and they want now 111 co-living units to be built there instead. And what your predecessor might say is, yeah, I might prefer living in an apartment and you might, but 111 is more than 20. When you're in a housing crisis, this is part of the solution.
Yeah, look, I'm not talking about a specific application, but I think in general terms, most people, there may be a place for them. But in specific instances, I think it's about proportion and about concentration and location, frankly. And that, you know, where you're seeing in certain parts of this city, in Dublin in particular, you know, a concentration of these type of developments. I don't think that's good for sustainable planning.
The Liberties, Fumbly Lane, there's some around there. Yeah, 210 out in Castleknock.
Yeah, like that's exactly it.
97 in Rathmines. I don't think they're close to any of these tech giants you'd be talking about.
No, well, look, they're not. And I think the other thing is really in the programme for government, part of which I negotiated on the housing side, that we're looking for each local authority to carry out a rental strategy. So when they produce their housing plans as part of the development plan, that they produce a rental strategy. And the reason for that is that we can look at where even the build-to-rent apartments are being built. So we're not going to have, you know, an oversupply in certain areas where certain areas are nearly all rental and very little home ownership. So my focus has been, and I said this on your other show earlier in the morning a few months ago or a few weeks ago, is like my focus very much is one on public house building, getting our local authorities back building homes, which we're doing. And I've changed the rules on that already to make it easier for local authorities to carry out those schemes themselves. And secondly, is to be able to deliver affordable housing, both for purchase and for rental, for our working people. And, you know, we this year has been difficult because of COVID. We've had a shutdown. We were looking at maybe completing 25,000 homes, public and private, at the start of this year. COVID impacted, shutdown happened. That dropped to as low as 14,000. Now, the recent figures I have are showing that, you know, with certain assistance that I brought in the July stimulus, which was increasing the first-time buyers grant to 30,000, we're looking at potentially about 17,000 completions this year, but still well below what we need. But half of those 17,000, or actually quite a lot more than half of those 17,000, will be council houses and social homes, which I welcome. And that's one thing I really want to focus on. They're sustainable homes. That's sustainable living.
You know? And do you want to rely less then in the future in terms of the delivery of those type of homes on Part 5 and more on direct development from those local authorities?
Yeah, I think you're using both. Part 5 has been good, but we've got to utilise public land. And I've been and remain a firm believer of public housing and public land, and a mix of that, some affordable, some social, and we can deliver more there. There are approved housing bodies, which are housing associations that your listeners might know about, your Responds and your TUA and your Cluids, and those are delivering some fantastic developments as well. I was at a refurbishment there in St. Mary's Mansions in the North Inner City late last week, where 70-year-old apartments that were really in bad shape have been, you know, renovated. Now we have 80 apartments there, and Clwyd, the city council, partnered with Clwyd. So there's lots of different ways of delivery, but I think what we need to do is to deliver faster. And this year has been tough, as I said, but like that, in letting the local authorities go out and build themselves. And that's what I've done. I said I'd do it in opposition. It was one of the first things I did as minister, is now to bring in this single stage approval process. So that local authorities across the country, any scheme up to 6 million, they go through one stage and they can tender it and off they go. And we want to see them delivered. One other thing, if I could just mention while we're talking about public housing, is the use of our vacant stock. Like people, it drives people mad. You'd be walking around, you could see, you know, homes or apartments, you know, boarded up, and how the length of time it takes them to get back into use. I've put 40 million into a voids program. These are called voids, which will bring 2,500 units of existing stock that are not occupied back into use this year. And they're the type of things that we can do if we're focused, if we work with our local authorities and do it. So, you know, that's part of what I'm about. I have a housing delivery team that I chair each week. We sit down, we focus on it right down to each of the local authorities. We look at where we are. We have a homeless delivery unit as well, to try to do everything we can to try to drive down the homeless figures and bring forward solutions that can actually help people get out of long-term homelessness.
But before I let you go, I know you raised the issue of the pandemic unemployment payment and the possibility that it could be increased back to 350.
Well, it was actually raised with me, but anyway,
You didn't reject the idea outright, we'll put it that way. Is this something that has been discussed at Cabinet, that you've passed on those questions to the Minister?
Well, Cabinet's meeting tomorrow morning. I think the Taoiseach said on the weekend that particularly in areas in sectors that have been really badly affected, if you take our hospitality sector and catering and travel, that it would be reviewed to maybe have a more focused approach in relation to the pandemic unemployment.
Would you be in favour in those areas yourself of increasing it back to 350?
Anything that we can do to help people in those sectors, like the state is intervening in a big way in relation to the wage subsidy scheme, the PUP payments as well, and rightly so. And we've got to try to keep people working or support them if they can't. And that's why, you know, so tomorrow morning we've Cabinet. I'm sure it will be discussed at that. But the Taoiseach has been clear that he will be asking the Minister for Finance, the Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform to actually review it.
All right. Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien. Minister, thanks for your time here on The Hard Shoulders.